you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio.
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with two members of a band that was on the show before, but it's been a few years, and I think it's been a few years since this band has released any new music, and there's a lot of new things happening sort of in the imminent future, so we'll get into all of that. But I think the best way to start this off is if the two of you want to introduce yourselves, give a bit of background about the band and what we're talking about today. So I guess, Danny, you're sort of the known quantity on this podcast, and that you were on an episode many years ago, so let's start with you. You know, who are you, what do you play in the band, and what can you tell me about the band?
Sure. My name is Danny. I play in the band Holy Void. I play the bass and sing some of the songs. And below us, we have Michael. Let Michael introduce himself.
Hi, I'm Michael. I play guitar in the band and sing some, too.
Cool.
And So
we've been a band... I'll let you take it.
Well, I was going to just probably ask you the same question you're about to answer. I was going to say, for people who are unfamiliar with Holy Void, can you give me like a Cole's Notes version of what the band's about? What kind of music you do? I know it's a loaded question, but just give a quick description, I guess.
Sure. So we've been a band. This is actually our 10th year being a band. Kind of crazy. We play a little bit. We say we're a psychedelic rock band, I think. And we put out a couple of EPs over the years, and in 2019 we put out our first full-length-ish album called Knot on vinyl. Now we're releasing a new record coming out December 13th.
Cool. And what I said at the beginning, it's been a while since you released something. I mean, that is, you know, it's a number of years already since the last record. So I imagine that part of the time in between has to do with the pandemic and everything that slowed everyone down sort of for that time period. But are there any other reasons why this has taken so long from record to record? Like, has the band changed? Have you, it looks like you have some different members. I see that Rob Nags is very involved as a cellist more than, mm-hmm. In the older records, obviously, yeah. He wasn't around.
You're right. We actually, a lot of the songs that are on this record, we started to record in 2020, so we had four of the songs that are on this. So we actually, the pandemic did kind of derail us kind of moving forward with the record, and then we didn't play from until the end of 2021. Then we added a few new members. We added Marina Vanderveen, who actually joined us in 2019. Just before we released Knot. It was probably right after the last podcast.
Yeah.
In 2019. And then Rob joined the band in 2021 because Marina lived in Nanaimo. It was just kind of logistics. It was, they took a bit longer than I think we thought it was going to all get together and record. And it took a couple of years after the pandemic to finally get everything finished, and now we're kind of rushing to the finish line here with everything.
Do the songs on this record, did they because as you said a couple minutes ago, these were started sort of pre-pandemic, a lot of them. Do they have how has the band's sound changed sort of over that time, and do some of these songs feel old to you now that you've been working on them? I mean, you've been recording them, you guys have been playing them, do they sound sort of like an older incarnation of the band, or do you still feel they're sort of apt portrayals of what you sound like in 2024?
I don't know, the way I look at songs is that they're just kind of always changing. Like the songs that we recorded long ago that we're still playing are often don't even sound much like they did back then. They're kind of these live life forms that keep growing and evolving, at least from my perspective.
Sure.
And that's how I kind of feel like with these. There's a lot of things that have changed since we recorded this album. Yeah. I think we're trying to kind of be true to the album, at least for the album release show, but things have definitely evolved since then with many of the songs.
Go ahead.
I was just agreeing with Michael.
So do you have new material? You must have new material that's been written sort of after these songs, right? Like, is that accurate, or are you still sort of really, really focused on this material leading up to the show?
I think for myself, I always kind of write music. So we haven't practiced anything new since kind of finishing this record. We just finished this record. Probably we finished tracking it probably at the mid-July. We really wanted to get it out this year. So we finished tracking it mid-July, and then we had we got all the mixing and mastering done as quickly as possible because we wanted to get it on vinyl before. So we haven't really had time to work on new stuff. Like, we've been really trying to hone in, I guess, and we're hone in these songs for our upcoming release show, just so you know. That sounds like we've been playing them for years and years and years, which we for the most part have. Some of the newer songs maybe we played a bit less, but these songs still feel pretty new to us. We don't feel like we're playing all the time.
Yeah,
we're playing like maybe once every 6 months these days. So like when we finally get together and jam them, especially the new songs, they feel pretty new still, and like in a exciting way, not in like a you can't play them way.
It's a better way of the two of the
except
two
for
ways
the first time through.
Right.
Yeah. Except for the first time through, which is always like, oh no, we're never going to be able to do them again.
Well, yeah, yeah.
That's sort of related to that. I mean, how do these, you did this big show coming up, and we'll get into the details of you know, who's playing with you, where it is and all that later on, but how do these songs transfer from the recorded version to playing them live? Are you able to sort of play them faithfully to the record, or is it are there tweaks? Is it altered a little bit? You know, not necessarily saying it's a bad thing, but do you have to shift anything when you're performing them live compared to the studio version?
There's atmospheric stuff, I think, mainly with the album, and just the precision honing of every single little moment. But like in terms of the general instrumentation and melodies and whatnot, it's pretty much the same.
Okay.
You know, aside from the jazz that happens in live performance.
Yeah, you'd have to be pretty hardcore to like miss some of the parts that, if there's some things that you hear on the record that you don't hear live, you'd have to be like super hardcore. It'd blow my mind.
with the show. We'll get into the show. I mean, this is something that's happening at the end of the year. We're in November now, but this is happening, you know, in mid-December. Was the reason for doing this all sort of at the end of 2024, just like you said, to get this out before the year ended and do it that way? Or how planned, I guess, is how planned versus just sort of the timing worked out is this big show?
I think it was planned. And then in March, we were like, let's play a show at the West End and let's make it like a big show and let's make it an album release. And then we kind of sat on it in a way until June, and we're like, oh crap, we have to record these songs. Well, like a lot of it was in the bag. We had to like really move on getting the rest tracked. And so it's kind of like, you know, it's truly like a race to the finish line, because we wanted to, you know, print on vinyl. That takes at least 3 months. So like, so it was planned to be a release basically all year. We felt if we didn't do it now, that, you know, then it gets pushed to the next year, and then we'll want to find the perfect time next year to do it. And then you get a bit procrastinating, I guess, and finally putting it out.
It's kind of like when you start a band, you know, and you're rehearsing, and you're like, well, I'm not ready to get these songs together, but then you just have to book a show and then you get the songs together, you know?
You're forced to,
It's the deadline. That's the... You have to create it somehow.
That's like crutch is like, I'm so like, if there's a deadline, I'll meet it, but I'll do it like the most crammy way possible.
Do you?
And I think all of us are like that, I guess, because that's what happened.
With that in mind, the whole crunch time thing and then getting this done, you know, before the deadline, how do you feel about how the songs turned out? I mean, you know, you set up this release date ahead of time. You knew it was going to happen. You knew you had to have some material. But like, how satisfied are you with the finished product?
I've listened to the album a lot, and I really like it. And I'm excited to hear what it sounds like when we get like everything back. But yeah, I've listened to it quite a few times, just like walking. I listened to it a lot when we were kind of in the notes stage, and I didn't really have a whole lot in terms of notes. Just kind of like, it was nice to listen to it and be happy with it.
In terms of the recording process, that was like, we really dotted all the I's and crossed the T's. It was like very finished, and then it was just like, oh, okay, well now we have, you know, just a few months to do all the promotion and stuff, which is kind of how it always goes.
Grant, who did not did this, but this one's not recorded to tape, so he had a bit more like that's kind of his wheelhouse, is not his recording. Like, he's a very great engineer at Exchange District Studios, so he knows what he's doing. He's quick, he works quick, and a lot of the songs that I wrote sound a lot like how I had them in my head when I wrote them, you know. So I'm pretty impressed by what Grant's been able to do once again for our band.
Cool. And then
Grant plays guitar.
Right. That helps. That's always good to have that, right? Sonically, how has the sound changed from the previous record? I mean, I know, again, it's been a number of years since you last put anything out. I know the songs were written sort of around a similar time, but like, as you said earlier, things have progressed and the songs are always changing. And so, I mean, if someone's heard the previous record or even your EPs before that, what can they expect on this one that's different? How has the band's sound sort of progressed or changed?
Yeah, I'd say it's a lot heavier and a lot more polished.
Okay.
The analog recording techniques of Knot didn't really permit going too far in the like polishing direction. And now we have cello and violin, and that's really added to like just this incredibly deep, rich, textured sound that really has lended itself well to just kind of sonically tweaking and crafting the recording, which I'm really, really happy with how that's turned out.
Cool. Are those sounds, did you envision those sounds on the earlier stuff and you just didn't have sort of the players for it. I mean, was that always kind of in the background, the space for, you know, a cello, for example, in the songs, or did you have to sort of rearrange the way the songs are written or structured to fit that in?
You know, I wanted, this was back in 2019, but I really wanted to do a cover of Venus and Furs. Okay. We were playing Rainbow Trout in 2019. So I wanted to do a cover of Venus and Furs. So that's how I ended up reaching out to Marina. And Marina came in and learned the song. And we were like, wow, this is so great. And then Marina learned like every song on Knot and our practice. And then we just thought it was like a sweet thing to add to our set. We were about to go on tour. So Marina came with us on tour, and we had full intention of recording with the violin, I guess, was the initial idea. Like it was going to be all over the record. Marina was a member of the band. And then Marina moved to Nanaimo during the pandemic, went to school there and suggested Rob as a replacement when we were starting to play again in late 2021. And then, you know, Rob fit in with the band. We're like, oh, like we never really had plans before to add any type of to change from, we've been kind of the same four people, but it was just kind of such a cool thing that kind of landed in our lap that we had Marina worked fit like a glove in the band, and then Rob also fit like a glove finger.
Interesting how they kind of, I feel like, just created their own space within the sound, you know. Some of that would be like probably maybe using a little bit less of those sort of like really MIDI distorted tones maybe on the guitar and leaving those for the cello or whatever while you're playing, but that's just, you know, just sort of everything just kind of settled just a little bit differently once we started playing with strings. It was fun.
Cool.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Now that you have strings in the band, does it change the way you approach sort of structuring songs or even just sort of composing the instrumental side of things? Is it different, or do you sort of plan with that in mind, or do they just sort of add on as it's being developed?
I'd say going forward, it will be. I'm looking forward to working more with Robin Marina in the writing process. Because most of the songs on this album weren't written while they were in the band,
right,
for the
course,
most
yeah.
part.
Yeah.
Like, there's little parts that we worked on, but the songs themselves weren't created with that in mind in the first place. So,
yeah,
we'll see how that goes.
Sure.
I think now when I'm kind of coming up with ideas, I'm for certainly like it, I tend to think about my ideas quite a bit before ever recording them. And now, like, once you have time to think about those ideas that you have, you definitely, like, if you just kind of read it back in your mind a bunch of times, and then you kind of think of, wow, that would be sweet if you could pull off like a really epic string part for, I mean, this isn't a song that anyone's ever heard. An idea I have in my head, but yeah, you definitely kind of realize you have that at your disposal. And is that the right word?
Yeah,
okay.
Well, it works anyway. I don't know if that's the word you're looking for, but
I
it works.
I can't tell if that's rude or not. But yeah, I don't know. It's nice to kind of be able to think about adding stuff like that now that we have those types of players in our band.
Yeah, yeah. And so this show that's coming up, it's an album release show. I call it being a CD release show, but obviously, like you said, you put no vinyl. It's an album release show. It also, I guess, doubles as a holiday show, a Christmas show. And then those are always fun. And so it's sort of a big year-end event. What are the details? Who are you playing with at that show, and how can people get tickets to check it out?
Well, we're playing with Joe Pony and Tired Cossack at the West End Cultural Center. First time I think we've ever played that. So that's kind of fun. It's on December 13th. And tickets are available through the West End Cultural Center website. We'll play a bunch of the entirety of this new record, some oldies, and it's going to be a fun, killer time.
Cool.
Apparently there's going to be maybe Sat.
Right on.
Krampus.
Krampus.
Oh, Krampus.
did those other two artists on the bill, why were they chosen? Like, do you feel like they are a good fit with what you do? I mean, Tired Cossack, I can almost see it more. Show Pony's great too, but very different kind of sound, right? What is the connection, I guess, between you and those other acts? If there is one.
Well, I saw Show Pony at Rainbow Trout, and they blew my mind. They were really awesome, and I mean it's nice to have a variety of different things. But I think we all kind of make some cool music. Tired Costa kind of has like that, they're very energetic, but like Joy Division sounding, and
yeah,
like, we've done shows with Tired Costa in the past, and they're just a fun band to be on a bill with. So kind of a mix of bands we have wanted to play with, that we have played with, and like just thinking how it would make a sweet bill that people would want to see with us.
Cool.
We've been playing, I don't know, we played with Tired Cossack before, I think, right?
Yeah.
But maybe not Show Pony?
No.
Or we did. Not at the, maybe that was different band. Anyways, they totally like kind of, it's like loud and exuberant, sometimes heavy, but like dark, you know, kind of, it's like kind of in that, sort of coming from that direction, I guess.
Last time I saw them, they covered a My Bloody Valentine song.
Oh, cool, cool. So it's like a bummer, but also joyful at the same time, yeah.
it was rocking. It was super rocking.
Cool. the good thing about this being a podcast, like, hopefully people will hear this before the show and they'll buy tickets to the show and check it out and get the record and everything.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
This will exist on the internet for a million years because apparently I can't stop making these. So, you know, if someone's hearing this after the fact, obviously they can go out and find the record. But what's the best way to find out what you're up to as far as upcoming shows, potential new music down the road and things like that?
Well, we have Instagram. Well, we're pretty active on Instagram. Let's start with Instagram. It's Holy Void Band. This is our handle. We have a band camp with so you hear this in the future and you like what we're doing, we'll have the album available for purchase on Bandcamp. I think Marina has a TikTok set up for us.
Cool.
So we have TikTok. I don't know how active it is. And we have, I think that's probably the best. And we have a lot of some stuff coming in on YouTube as well. Like, we're going to do a live recording of this set.
Oh, cool.
Should have mentioned that. With B&B helping us out with that. And Collector Studio, I think, as
cool.
well. So they're going to, we're going to actually have like a nice recording, hopefully, and a nice video of it. So like, if you miss the show, you might be able to see it down the line through the power of video being uploaded to YouTube.
Cool, cool. And then, you know, for people who are listening at the time this comes out, you're taking pre-orders for the record on Bandcamp, right?
Yes, we are. Yes, and we'll be and pushing that in a very annoying way over the next month.
And I guess that's sort of how things work now, right? I mean, it seems like everyone is going that way. And also the idea of sort of slowly releasing songs one by one, you're doing that as well. Is that different from how you approached it last time around?
We released like 3 singles last time, I think, before we released our record.
Okay.
But it was, yeah, the kind of the thing now is the order of the album is also, I think like, what you're supposed to do is make the order of the album supposed to be, it also has your singles like up front as well. And I don't necessarily like that part of music these days. But yeah, I think we've done it kind of similarly. We didn't have time to do music videos or anything, so it's mostly just short promos of the songs that we're putting out, and yeah.
What is the response been so far to those songs? And I know it's not very many of them yet, but what's the reaction been?
Pretty positive. We have some good reviews that we've some good feedback we've gotten back from, I guess, what people use these days, a Submit Hub.
Okay.
And it's been mostly positive. Lots positive. I think when people hear it, they'll hear a lot of us in it, and they'll enjoy it. And I think the songs will, which if, when you hear them live, it'll translate.